Well, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. I love the books of Peter. And we're going to look at this section, which I think most of you are familiar with, but these are some great truths, some great things that we should remind ourselves concerning, which is exactly what Peter says. And, you know, I think it was it last week we looked at some things on sanctification?
Yeah.
And, you know, some of those simple truths, because of what God's made us, because of who we are in Christ. And it's in a similar vein here in this first chapter. I don't think we're going to get through the whole chapter, but you know, we're going to see a little bit about what God's done and what we have and how He faithfully fulfilled that which He promised. And how we do what we do because of who He's made us and because of where we're headed. Which is kind of what verse 1 opens with. It's pretty cool. So, first or 2 Peter... chapter, did I say 2 Peter?
Yes.
Good. I got one right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, or like precious believing, with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I just want to take a few minutes with this verse. This believing that we have is based on the accurate knowledge regarding Jesus Christ. And it's that which was provided by God in His righteousness. Isn't that something? His justice. And it uses the words like precious believing, and I just want to take a couple of minutes with that. The word that's translated like precious, it's equal value. Okay, it's the word for isos, which is, you know, isosceles triangle, equal. And then it's a form of the word timē. Now, that's a word you're actually familiar with. We're going to look at it few places where it's used in a moment. It's the word timē, and it's translated a few different ways, but it means something of value. It is also translated as honor, and it is something that is due honor because of its value or its cost. That's the word timē that's used here, this precious believing regarding Jesus Christ. And it is precious. It's precious in a couple of ways. Maybe more than that. But the two main ways is one, it was the cost of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the price that He paid. As a matter of fact, one of the places where this word timē is used is in Matthew 28. And it was the price of 30 pieces of silver. That's what man determined the value of the blood of Jesus Christ to be. 30 pieces of silver. But God deemed it valuable enough to pay the price for all of the sin and the death of all of mankind. Isn't that something? Quite a difference of opinion there. One is right. It's kind of neat. But I want you to keep your finger here because we're going to come right back. In Romans chapter 12, this word is used. That word timē. And I think this is where you're going to be very familiar with it. Verse 10. Verse 10 reads in Romans 12, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Isn't that something? And it means to show that honor to one another because of the worth of the value. In 1 Corinthians 6, I think it's 1 Corinthians. Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The rest of the verse isn't there. It's not in any critical Greek text. We are bought with a price. It was the cost of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also used in 1 Corinthians 7 where it says, you're bought with a price, be not the servants of men. See, we serve who? We serve God because he paid a dear price for us. So that believing is precious. It cost God a great deal for him to endure what he endured and what his son endured on our behalf. It's really something. But there's another place where it's used, and it's in Romans chapter 2. And we're just going to read a couple of verses here. Romans chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up. Well, chapter 2 opens up with, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. You're without excuse to not know God. All right? And then it continues to go down regarding God's justice. That will one day come. In verse 5, after the hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation in the righteous judgment of God. We're going to look at a little bit more about that in a minute. But that righteous judgment of God, which is coming, which is future, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Okay? To them who, by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor. That's our word, honor, that value. And immortality, then it should read, there's an ellipsis here, he will render eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Okay? So you've got two categories here. One who seek glory and honor. Okay? The other are disobedient, unrighteous. Two categories. Right? Tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man that does evil. Of the Judean first and also of the Gentile. Makes no difference. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Judean first and also to the Gentile. Well, what do you think that doeth good is? Romans. Romans is regarding what? The gospel regarding Jesus Christ. See? The one category, those that do good, that seek honor, glory. See, that's in who?
Christ.
That's in Christ. See, they believe on Christ. The other category are those who reject, who disobey. You understand? One accepts and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. The other doesn't. To the one is honor and glory, which we're going to read a little bit more about in 1 Peter. See? That precious believing. It's not that it just cost the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's precious to us. It's precious because it is eternal life. It's eternal life. See? Where we're headed, it's really going to happen. Even if it's not at the forefront of your thinking. Even if it's not what you look at, what you dwell on, it is still so. It is real. You really have eternal life. You really will be delivered from wrath to come. You really be, we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he gathers us, we're going to be with him when he returns. We're going to be with him when he judges. He's going to judge people. He's going to judge angels, the whole nine yards. We're going to be with him the entire time. Isn't that remarkable? And then for the rest of eternity, that's how long it's going to take for God to demonstrate his grace to us by way of his kindness. Those things are really going to happen. That's how precious this is, this believing regarding Jesus Christ that we have. Let's go back to 1 Peter. Or 2 Peter, rather. By the end of this teaching, I'm going to get it right. So, verse 1 again. Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith or believing with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. This word knowledge, it also shows up in verse 3. It's that word from epigenosis. And it's a thorough knowledge that has an impact on the knower. And here it's grace and peace being what? Multiplied unto you. See? By way of that thorough knowledge regarding Jesus Christ and God the Father, to the end that the impact of that is grace and peace being multiplied unto you. That's pretty awesome. That's some knowledge worth spending some time with. That's some knowledge worth gaining. Then verse 3, this is so awesome. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us, and it should read, by his glory and virtue. See? Isn't that something? His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Then it reads in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. A better rendering of this, and I'm going to read the portion of this from the Working Translation, and it reads, by these things, the great and precious things promised have been given to us. Isn't that something? Ever since Genesis 3, God has been in the process of making things right. And in the meantime, he subjected it to a hope. And in the process of making things right are great promises that God said he would do. Things that he would make available. One of those being spirit. One of those things being life. Eternal life. Spirit life. And God has fulfilled those promises. We have it. Isn't that something? We have it. So in light of that, you read the next verse, or keep reading, by these promises, these precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption or the destruction or the perishing that is in the world through lust or cravings. God promised deliverance. God delivered on the promised deliverance. We believed on that which God offered for deliverance. And because we believed on it, we are delivered from the destruction of the world. It's done. It's done. This isn't an action verse. It's done. It was done by God through Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? We are delivered out from that destruction that is in the world. And Ephesians talks about this. We were all at one time children of wrath, children of disobedience. We all had our manner of living, but we're delivered from that. Last week, we looked at our sanctification, and that sanctification, that separating out unto God, is by way of what? Oh, please remember.
Jesus Christ.
Spirit. Spirit. Remember? Spirit, by way of Jesus Christ, right? Okay, I'm going to reteach last week's teaching. No, I'm just kidding. It's by way of Spirit. See? Isn't that something? That life that was promised. So we are delivered from that corruption. Then it goes on. Verse 5. And then it should read, or a better rendering of this is, here it reads, and beside this, but a better rendering is this, for this reason. Okay? For this reason. Look, God promised, God delivered. Ha! And because he delivered, we are delivered. And we are delivered for all eternity. So for this reason, give all diligence. That word diligence is, it's with time in mind. It's putting forth an effort and not wasting time or being aware of time, okay, is a simple way to understand it. Because we've got a hope. Jesus Christ is coming. So it's with that in mind, in light of the time that we have. So, giving all diligence, add to your faith. That word add is to furnish or to supply. So supply to your believing virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. That word virtue is really neat. We were called by his glory and his virtue, God's virtue. That word virtue is it is a character that is worthy of praise. Isn't that something? Remembering who we are. Remember how we're delivered. Who we belong to. The price that's been paid. Our value. And these are things that we believe. These are things that we walk in light of. And walking in light of that, we are supplying to our believing virtue. See, by way of knowledge. How we conduct ourselves. Isn't that beautiful? And then it goes on. And to knowledge, temperance or self-control. You know, whenever I read this, I always think about little kids. You know, because we have to teach them self-control, right? Because they're basically going to do what they want. You know? No, if you do that, you will cry and be upset. I don't care. It's what I want. See, they have no self-control. We have to teach them self-control. Right?
Right.
Right. Boy, it's really something because we've got the Spirit of God. We belong to God. The price that's been paid for us is Jesus Christ. You know, when I read this, I think about there's a section, I think it's 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul, the Apostle Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You know? You know what the context of that is? It's becoming all things to all men. That I might by all means save some. That would take some self-control. To become all things to all men? Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. And that's how he lived. It's pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. Self-control, and then patience. And to patience, godliness. And that godliness, a beautiful way to understand it, it's a It's a great respect or reverence of God. Just a great reverence for Him. And it's that which issues from that. See? My conduct, how I conduct myself, will be in light of the great reverence that I have for my God and my Lord. See? It's pretty neat. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. I love this because it opened with believing. Remember? Precious believing. That like precious believing. Okay? Then you add to these things and it ends with love. It ends with love. And you know now where we're going? Our hope. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or idle or inactive, sitting on the sidelines, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See? Isn't that awesome? And fruit that issues from that knowledge that has an impact on the knower of our Lord Jesus Christ, who does that bring glory to? It brings glory to God. So God says. Isn't that something? Then verse 9, and it's a little parenthesis here. And it reads, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He's nearsighted. He's nearsighted. And has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, it's kind of neat because we're gonna get into the exact opposite of what we've just read in 9. This nearsighted, it's I lose sight of the big picture. I lose sight of the hope. I lose sight of the end here, what this is really all about, what God has been working toward this whole time, see, which was to be with his man. See? Isn't that something? And I lose sight of that, and then it's just a nearsighted, the big deal is right here. The big deal is right now. The big deal is what I'm caught up in from moment to moment, and I lose sight of the big picture. It doesn't mean that I'm totally unaware of life yet. That's not what I mean. But when it's in light of the big picture, I keep it in perspective. See? Verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, rather than what we just read in verse 9, give diligence to make your calling and election steadfast. That's what that word sure is. It's steadfast. You're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to forget that you were purged. You're not going to forget to the end that you just become nearsighted. See? For if you do these things, you shall never stumble, is the word. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. And that word ministered is the same as the word is add in verse 5. That supply or furnish. We supply or furnish these things in light of that precious believing regarding Jesus Christ. And here, something's going to be furnished to us. Isn't that cool? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you, furnished or supplied unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to be with him for eternity. You know, last week we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, which is, it opens with sanctification. Living your sanctification, and it closes with like the ultimate sanctification, the gathering together. you know, which those are that are dead will be separated out from among the dead to be gathered with Jesus Christ. Those that are alive will be separated out from all the other ones that are alive to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bada bing, bada boom. And we are forever with the Lord Jesus Christ from that day forward. Right? Colossians chapter 3. Your life is hid. Well, let's read that. Keep your finger here. We're going to come right back. We've got one more verse I think we're going to read. But in Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, are you? Yeah. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your thinking, your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. One is far-sighted, one is near-sighted. Verse 3, for you are dead, or you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. See? True life. Verse 4, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. In 1 Thessalonians, he comes for his saints. He gathers us together. The ultimate sanctification. Here in Colossians, it is speaking regarding that time where we come back with him to this earth. Talks about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. You know, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. You know what? Let's read that. 1 Thessalonians. Let's just read the whole Bible. Or 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. Verse 4, it says, verse 3.
Chapter.
Sorry, 1. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. I got busy reading here, and I forgot to tell you where I was reading. Verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or right, because your believing grows exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds. It's increasing. What a church, huh? Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory or boast in you in the churches of God for your patience and believing in all of your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token, or it's evident. It makes it clear that righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. See, isn't that something? You know, Jesus Christ said, look, they hated me. Don't get your mind blown that they hate you. Right? That's just the way it works. You know? The world hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world persecutes Jesus Christ. See? It's really something. But there's a day coming. Verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, or his mighty messengers, or messengers of power. Isn't that something? That's when he comes back to the earth to establish his kingdom. And that's going to happen. You know who's going to be with him? We are. We read about it in Colossians. These things are real. These things are true. And that's why Peter is encouraging, look, stay put, be steadfast, do these things. Don't be nearsighted, be farsighted. See? Because Jesus Christ is coming back, and he is going to provide, supply to you an entrance into his kingdom.
Pretty awesome.
That's precious, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's go back to 1 Peter. Or 2 Peter. I still didn't get it right. 2 Peter. I'm going to start in verse 10 again. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure or steadfast. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. We're going to stop there. Maybe next week we'll deal with the rest of this chapter. It's pretty good stuff. But the Apostle Peter committed himself to reminding them. He would do it constantly. You know, as you read here, and maybe we'll look at this next week, Jesus Christ showed him that he would fall asleep before his return. And what we read here is Paul, or Peter, committing himself, see, to reminding these saints, put them in remembrance of these necessary things. And that's what we can do for one another. You know, we remind one another of the hope. We help one another to get our eyes on the big picture. Sometimes we get nearsighted. We just do. Sometimes things come up. We get distracted. We get tricked. We get this. We get that. But we can get to the place where we so build these things in our heart, man, we're boom, we're just steadfast. Nothing shakes it. See? And you just get to the place where you're not stumbling anymore. You know? It's really awesome. And it's not because you're so great or I'm so great. It's just because of God's word. And it's because I decided to believe it. And God backs his word up. Isn't that awesome? So we have a lot to look forward to. So when you think in these terms, realize, don't forget how precious what we have is. How precious what Jesus Christ has done for us and what he's going to do for us in the future. It's very precious. Don't take it for granted. So, amen? Amen. All right, I'm going to pray.